Welcome to Faked, an original podcast highlighting the underground world of counterfeit illegal items around the world and how to spot them. Whether you're traveling the world or buying online, Faked will be your guide. With your host, Joseph Rowan, you'll explore the many ways counterfeiters can pull off disguising everyday consumer items as the genuine good.
Welcome back to Faked Podcast, guys. This is your favorite podcast all about counterfeit things, fakery, and scams around the world. Today, we're going to be talking about five fictional countries where the U.S. actually trains to fight, I guess. So, you know, they invent a lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of technology in the army, all this stuff, but they actually have to use fake countries in order to kind of circumvent people knowing where they're at. Also, it trains them, you know, in actual scenarios that are beneficial. So anyways, let's talk about during World War II. So the Allies famously tricked Hitler into believing that the 1st United States Army Group would invade France at Calais. So the real invasion, of course, came at Normandy. And the 1st United States Army Group did not take part, mostly because it didn't actually exist. So fake military units aren't the only thing that military is good at inventing. Sometimes it invents entire nations, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So when the U.S. Army trains for battle, it strives for immersion and realism. Obviously, that helps with the end goal, you know. So to help prepare soldiers for the overwhelming nature of invading a country where the language is unknown and the culture is mostly alien, the U.S. Army invents fully realized countries, from international dynamics to currency. So here are a few of the fake countries we're going to talk about, and this is where they're prepared to fight real adversaries. So number one is the People's Republic of Pineland, which sounds fake. I'm going to be honest. It doesn't sound real. So invaders from the north beset the country of Pineland, located on the continent of Antlantica. So there have been reports of a local strongman named Jose Cuervo, who is known to capture and torture local guerrilla fighters. Now, Jose Cuervo, that's an interesting name. Sounds like a trademarked one, actually. So they're just fighting tequila, I think, at this point. And there is general discord among the local militia. So wanted terrorist Keith Mohammed, you know, I'm going to be honest, all this sounds really fake. So if anybody was reading about this, I feel like, yeah, this is all not real. You got Keith Mohammed, Jose Cuervo in Pineland. Anyways, because Pineland has been a stalwart ally of the United States fighting alongside us during World Wars I and II, Korea and Iraq, a U.S. Army Special Forces A-Team, ODA 914, has infiltrated the country to organize the guerrilla forces into a formidable army. So Atlantica itself has a very interesting history, okay? It's a bit over 1,000 miles east of North America and was first discovered by Salerdo Indians of Venezuela. So Eric the Great settled the land in 1342, and the English, Spanish, and French would arrive during the Age of Discovery. So ultimately, England would conquer the continent and divide it into three distinct territories. You've got North Atlantica, Appalachia, and Pineland. Unlike the American-friendly Pineland, the United Provinces of Atlantica, which previously was North Atlantica, would eventually side with the Soviet Union during the Cold War. The region would seem to be marked by instability and unrest. So all of this is part of the Robin Sage, the final phase of the Special Forces training, where soldiers put their highly specialized training to the test. Those who would succeed will earn the right to wear the coveted Green Beret. Based on the reports of the exercise, the exact conditions of the war simulated seem to be kind of varied. So reflecting actual ongoing U.S. Army Special Forces missions and the lessons learned from conflicts around the world. Pineland is serious business. So the training area is 4,500 square miles across 10 countries. Local communities and are integrated into the mission. So it has a flag, yellow, gray, and red, with Liberty painted at the top and 1870 on the bottom. A national anthem, which is fake too. I'm not even going to try to sing it. This is the land of tall pine tree where all of us used to live so free. Huh. And a currency is called the Don, denoted by orange and yellow bills that resemble Monopoly money and signed by Seymour Bombs. Oh my gosh. Seymour Bombs. And yes, there is a real dollar to Don exchange rate. So notably, a precursor to Robin Sage was fought not in Pineland, but in Erewhon, with special forces pitted against the Erewhonian army. Erewhon, of course, is nowhere spelled backwards. So that is the fake countries of Pineland. It's like a republic, I guess. So it's got multiple communities inside of it. Okay, so number two is the land of Aragon. So the island of Aragon is roughly 600 miles east of Atlantica and is divided into three distinct nations. So People's Democratic Republic, sorry, I think those combination resulted in Decrapic, of Acadia, the Republic of Cortina, and the Republic of Victoria. So Cortina is rich in natural resources and vital to U.S.'s interests, of course, but is highly unstable due to political corruption, ethnic strife, and right-wing insurgencies. So Cortina Liberation Front, which is a domestic terrorist organization, is supported by the PDRA and has recently stepped up in its violence. Their goal is to overthrow the Cortina government. United States isn't going to let this happen, of course. So Joint Task Force Cortina, comprised of conventional land, air, and sea elements, as well as special operations forces where they have been sent to the area. They've been ordered to help with the counterinsurgency, provide security, and offer humanitarian aid when it's needed. So this simulated invasion is one scenario used during the three-week field training exercise at the U.S. Joint Readiness Training Center at Fort Polk, Louisiana, where Robin Sage's Pineland is designed around 12-man Special Forces team. So JRTC brings together diverse elements from the whole of the U.S. Army and units ranging from the light infantry to Apache helicopters. So they've got a lot of firepower there. So thousands of soldiers train at once on the 100,000-acre facility dubbed The Box. It's one of the most technologically sophisticated training simulations in the military, employing 900 cameras that record everything. It's got real-world sound effects, carefully employed pyrotechnics, so people are, you know, blowing stuff up, and GPS tracking on pretty much everything. The only thing I could think during this is the whole, what is that movie, Tropic Thunder. It's all I'm picturing during this, especially if they sent people in with kind of like the idea of, hey, this is real. This is very real, and you should act like it's real. So hundreds of civilians role-playing as villagers, acting as mayors and farmers and peddlers at local bazaars. Citizens of the Box broadcast a radio show, print three daily newspapers, and run a nightly news broadcast, all of which reflects the war going on. So is this the military budget? I know we talk about how crazy the military budget is, but this is literally them making multiple cities acting as if they're real, but they're fake. That's insane. So the 509 Infantry Regiment, or the Airborne, acts as an imposing force, or OPFOR. So these soldiers live in the field for weeks at a time, eating and sleeping in the camps and villages. Like indigenous forces, the military will encounter in the combat zone, you know, where they're actually going to go, not the fake one. The OPFOR is extraordinarily familiar with their terrain and knows exactly how to use it to inflict maximum harm on soldiers in training. It's an unfair advantage, but it's designed to be that way. The goal for soldiers training at JRTC isn't to win, which is an impossible task, but it's actually to learn from mistakes, because the mistakes made there in this fake country aren't deadly. So, I mean, that's good. That's a great training exercise, I feel like. Let me make sure we're still recording here. So this is cool. Yeah, I know it's a lot of text, but maybe you can imagine what this looks like in your head as I describe it. So number three is Attica. So the Middle Eastern nation of Attica has been seen better days. So the radical Islamic Congress of Attica seems to destabilize the Attican government and install an oppressive theocratic regime. So meanwhile, the Elysian army has sent in mechanized elements as precursor to a full invasion. The Islamic Brotherhood for Jihad would like to establish a terrorist base of operations in the region from which it can launch transnational attacks. So to deal with this, the U.S. Army has been deployed to work alongside Attican security forces to stop the insurgency. Secure Attica's porous borders and strengthen its tenuous state and deny haven to tourists. So Working against the U.S. at Attican Alliance is the Wolf Brigade, an 8-man cyber warfare cell capable of disrupting communications and networking electronics. Wow, they really have everything covered here. That is insane. So they literally have like a 8-man cyber warfare in order to like block telecommunications, shut the internet down so people have to go black. Oh, that's crazy. So the crisis in Attica is part of the network integration evaluation, a biannual exercise at White Sands Missile Range that evaluates military communications hardware in the field. So the hostile forces represent Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Hezbollah, and the Iranian Special Operations Goods Force. So the training simulation is indicative of the kind of wars that the U.S. Army expects to fight in the future. So hybrid wars, not against single states, but loosely affiliated actors with a common enemy in the United States. So the network integration evaluation also puts the U.S. Army warfighter information network tactic to the test. The WIN-T is a command and control system that allows critical information to be sent across the battlefield through such devices as Net Warrior Field capable smartphones. So that is kind of their way in order to just stave off all of this hybrid warfare that's going to be happening, no doubt, in the future. That is so interesting. This is super cool stuff. I need to see if I can find some pictures, and for sure I'll be making a TikTok about it. So if you haven't followed my TikTok Faked Podcast, definitely check it out. Okay, so let's move on to number four, and there's only five of this. Number four is the People's Democratic Republic of Krasnovia. Now, I will say this is the most real-sounding one. So during most of the Cold War, the United States had been may have known no greater threat than the People's Democratic Republic of Krasnovia. The threat of the war was ever present. The neighboring Republic of Mojave was a staunch U.S. ally, but a bitter enemy of the Kingdom of Perumphia, a close Krasnovian ally. Tensions were further heightened by the Perumphian People's Guerrilla, which wanted Perumphia to reunify, with the Krasnovian motherland, which is the nearby Baja Republic, remained neutral. So while years were marked by highs and lows and the occasional bullet fired in anger, tensions were most heightened when uranium was found in the Mojave. So prompting Krasnovia and Perumphia to mount a joint invasion. So the United States intervened not only to help a partner in the region, but also because there was little doubt that the Krasnovian Perumphian alliance would use the uranium for weapons of mass destruction. So the scenarios for war with Krasnovia, which is everyone's enemy, I guess, and an obvious stand-in for the Soviet Union, varied over the years. So this whole test was basically to make sure we could handle the Soviets as we could. As anything arose, we kind of hypothetically, drew up all the stuff that, they were capable of. So bitter wars were fought at Fort Irwin and the National Training Center in California. When the Soviet Union collapsed, Krasnovia fell as well, to be replaced by breakaway republics presenting a new set of threats in Eurasia. So that is kind of their whole Soviet thing during the Cold War. Okay, Atrophia. Atrophia is number five, and this is actually the last one. So the Defense Department expects future threats in Eurasia to look a lot like the war in Attica, hybrid, with conventional forces, criminal troops, terrorist forces, and intelligence services working together to topple governments and repel external threats. So such country as Donovia, Gorgias, it's like G-O-R, gas, Minaria, Atropia, and Arania are each of some way either a vital U.S. interest or a belligerent state. So history suggests that the military confrontation between any of these countries could easily engulf the entire region in total war, basically a domino effect. So if this were to happen, Gorgias and Atropia would call upon its allies in the West for help, specifically the United States. So both countries face threats from Donovia. Let me make sure this is all still going on. I had some problem a couple times ago where I had to, where the recording just stopped. So if it were to happen, they would obviously call upon the other allies. Both countries face threats from Donovia, which has seen a surge in regional influence with the rise in oil prices. So Gorgias, I'm just going to say Gorgias, is still reeling from a 2008 war against Donovia, and Atropia's natural resources kept at a perpetual risk. So meanwhile, Etropia also faces a threat from Inaria, a relatively weak country with ties to the Donovians. There's a lot of political, geopolitical stuff here, which is crazy because it's all made up. But they are basically made up based off of real events that have happened or will happen. So the simulation is part of a decisive action training now being rolled out by the U.S. Army. The variables in this kind of regional conflict kind of war game can be shifted and provide units with experience in everything from stability operations to high-intensity conflict operations. That is so interesting. Okay, so this is it, guys. That is the countries that are not real. They're totally fake, and the U.S. trains in them in order to kind of mirror what could happen or what we've done in the past in order to, you know, correct maybe some of the wrongs that happened and just not to make further mistakes in the future. So I want to find out what the governmental budget allocation is for this, you know, to make all these fake cities and hire hundreds and thousands of actors in order to be villagers is absolutely crazy. So guys, that is it for this podcast episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Kind of switch it up a little bit. So guys, remember the faked items. There are those that produce them, those that purchase them, and those that listen to this podcast. I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.